Hello there. Welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. This actually is episode 60, so I think that's a pretty good milestone. I'm your host, Christian Verwijs, and today I'm joined by my colleague, Barry.
Yes. Hello to everyone. Great to also participate in a podcast episode.
So it's not just me that people are listening to this time. It's the both of us. It's been a long time, so I'm very happy that we can do an episode together again. And maybe before we start with the episode, I think the purpose that we had in mind for today was purpose to practice, right?
Yeah, correct. Because recently I focused on hosting a couple of meetups. One of them was about purpose to practice, and we used it to see how we can shape the patron community with it. And while doing it, we thought, why don't we spend a podcast episode about it? How we've used it and what we've learned by applying it.
So we've already introduced a lot of terminology that people may not be familiar with. What is purpose to practice?
Yeah, purpose to practice is a liberating structure. It's one of the larger ones in the sense that it contains five different elements that we'll explain in a moment. But you can use other liberating structures to have a conversation about these different elements. Mm-hmm. So you could see it as a, I don't know, an umbrella liberating structure, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a liberating structure that we have used basically for almost all our larger initiatives. For example, when we started a company, the Liberators, we used a purpose to practice to clarify, so what is the purpose that we have with the Liberators and what are principles we need to respect? Who do we need to include? How are we going to organize ourselves as well? Yeah, and I think, Chris, do you already have some other examples in mind for how we've used purpose to practice?
Well, like you said, at the start of a community or an initiative, but also, for example, we've done some Scrum Master learning journeys inside organizations, and we've also used purpose to practice there to help clarify what's the whole point of this initiative together. And it's also, if people go to liberatingstructures.com and you look up purpose to practice as a liberating structure, it actually says that the purpose is to design the five essential elements for a resilient and enduring initiative. So that already kind of captures the whole point of purpose to practice and why it's so important to use.
Yep. Yeah, and I think we basically, for each larger initiative, our recommendation is just give purpose to practice a try. And it is something that it can take 1 hour, it can take 1 week, it can take 1 month. That's completely up to you. Already good to know is that doing a purpose to practice should never be a one-time activity. It's something that you need to refine, need to improve, need to tweak and nurture continuously.
And why is that? I mean, why not just do it once and, well, then you have the foundation in place? Why do you have to revisit it?
Well, I think, like you said, doing it once to set the foundation is just fine. But along the way, while actually doing the initiative, you will learn many new things that might be valuable to include in your purpose of practice. For example, while starting a new project, you might discover that a certain principle, for example, of how people are collaborating with each other is missing, and it's important to include it as a principle in the purpose to practice so that everyone is aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe before diving into some more details on how to use purpose to practice, it might be helpful to give an overview of what it is, because there's a sort of a model behind it, if you will. If you go to the website liberatingstructures.com, you can find it there. But the point is that purpose to practice starts with the purpose, right? So you work together to clarify what's the purpose, why does this group exist?
Yeah.
Why are we here? And from the purpose, you start answering a couple of other questions, right? So what questions do you answer?
Yeah, so once you've captured the purpose, you move to principles. And actually, I say you move to principles. It's not necessarily like there's a strict order in which you should cover these themes, but for the sake of clarity and explanation, I'm just going to use the order that you start with purpose. After that, you move to principles. And principles is all about, so what rules must we follow in pursuit of our purpose? So what are the guidelines that we need to respect?
Right.
After that, you go to participants. Given our purpose, who must we include in order to be able to achieve our purpose?
Right.
You move to structure after that, and that's all about, so how are we going to organize ourselves? How are we going to distribute control instead of relying on top-down control? And the fifth element is about practices. So what is it that, given our purpose, given how we are going to organize ourselves, and given the participants that we have taken into account, what are we actually going to do? What will be the result? What will be the outcome? What is it that people will notice if we are going to fulfill this purpose?
Yeah, and the nice thing is that if people start doing those things, those practices, you will eventually learn more about your purpose and then your principles, what other participants are needed, how else to structure your work, and additional practice that you can include. So that's sort of the cyclical nature that you already alluded to.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
So I can imagine that for people listening to this that have never done Purpose to Practice, it might help to know the questions that you're answering, but I can imagine it's still quite abstract. Like, okay, what does that actually look like in practice? So the idea we had in mind was to take an example from our own work and talk through that with Purpose to Practice in mind and give the listener some ideas on how to use it with their own team or their own organization or community, if that's what you're running.
Yep.
So let's start with maybe a bit of context. What's an example where we have used it that you think is useful to share?
Well, I think we can still use the Patreon community. Although maybe just as a word of warning, this is like using the Purpose to Practice for our Patreon community is like work in progress, which makes sense because it just said it's never finished. But we, with our community, I think about 2 weeks ago, we touched on all the five elements and wrote down the first things that came to mind, but it already gave a good impression of what you can achieve with the Purpose to Practice. Mm-hmm. So I think we can just share some tangible examples. So if we focus on purpose, then we used 9 whys. 9 whys is a liberating structure, which is ideally suited for clarifying the purpose. And we try to answer the question, okay, this Patreon community exists in order to. And in total, it was a virtual session, about 35 or 40 patrons tried to answer this question. And as a group, we started to search for patterns in all the answers that everyone provided. And after roughly 1 or 2 hours, a sort of one-liner was the result by which we could explain the purpose of our Patreon community. And Chris, do you think if it's helpful if I share the one-liner?
Yeah, or? Sure. I think that's very good. It's a good example, I think, of a purpose. So feel free.
Yeah. So stay tuned. What we defined as the purpose is we are a global high-quality community of like-minded people that exists in order to help practitioners of Scrum, other agile methods, and liberating structures to find support, offer help, and draw inspiration. And we believe in the power of peer-to-peer inspiration to overcome the tough challenges we face when we try to liberate teams and organizations from ineffective, dehumanizing, and traditional ways of working.
Wow, that's a big sentence.
It is, but yeah, as a group, we believe that it captures the essence of this initiative that the setting up a page community is.
So what I like about this approach is that people were involved, right? So you could argue that why wouldn't you just write down the purpose yourself? Why wouldn't you just spend an hour to think about it, then write it down? What's different about this approach that we've used here?
Well, that it's a shared purpose. So it's not a purpose that is, this is a top-down crafted purpose on which only in this example, you and me have thought about, but it's a purpose that the entire community thought about. And by that, it's a shared purpose. And I think for every initiative that you're going to try, having a shared purpose that everyone understands and really supports is already a key success factor.
Yeah, and I think it's also good to mention that the sentence that you just mentioned, we actually refined it a little bit based on the input, right? So it's not like we came up with this precise sentence at the end of the meetup that we organized, but we used the patterns and the wording that people came up with as inspiration for the sentence that we have. Because I think that that's one pitfall of purpose to practice, or purpose in general, is that teams or initiatives can very easily get stuck in trying to find the best way to describe the purpose.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we've learned, and Henry and Keith, the founders of Liberating Structures, have really reminded us of that too, is that it's really important to just start with something. If at least you have a basic idea of your purpose, start with that and go into the next steps of purpose to practice so that you can use those next steps to actually refine it. So it doesn't have to be perfect at all. Just start with the first sentence that makes sense to you and that feels good enough, right? I think that's a big lesson for us too, because it's very easy to spend hours, weeks on the best way to formulate the sentence.
Yeah. And just as a sort of inspiration, if you want to start differently with defining your purpose, then you could also use the liberating structure TRIS, which would be all about, so what can we do to guarantee this will be the worst initiative ever? And then, well, most of you that are listening probably know TRIS. You flip the question and you see, okay, based on our experience, what is it that we already recognize that we should definitely stop doing? It's a more creative, different way of talking about the purpose.
Cool. So when you have the purpose, when we had the purpose, what was the next step?
Yeah, then we moved to principles. So principles is all about, so what rules must we follow in pursuit of our purpose? And although we didn't mention min-specs, we in a way did use the liberating structure min-specs, which was all about, first, let's define all the max specs. So just write down all the principles that come to mind that you think is valuable. And then try to sort of like remove the ones that are not essential, so that only the essential principles are left over. And to just give two examples, two principles that we wrote down is, we aim to turn ideas into action and on learning with and from others through experiments in co-creation. And another one is, we try to create an environment where we and others feel safe to take interpersonal risks. So those are two principles that we as a community came up with. And also for this one, it's as similar as with the purpose. We tried to notice the patterns in all the answers that the participants gave. And in all those answers, we noticed that experimentation is considered important, co-creation is important, really turning ideas into action is important. We combined it, and based on that, we formed these one-liners, these principles.
Mm-hmm. Right. And why is that important? Because you've clarified the purpose. Why do we do this step after that? What's been your experience with that?
Well, actually, but that's more the step behind it, what I like about it. Like principles, the pitfall with a principle is that although it can already make a purpose more tangible, like what is the kind of, I don't know, rules, guidance, structure that we consider important, taking it even one step further is, what is the kind of behavior we would like to see in this community, so that people that are part of the community can also help each other live up to this community, and maybe can also make a conscious decision in, do I really want to join this community? For example, when I would join a new community, a code of conduct is something that I always like to check, to just see like, so what is the behavior that I probably can expect within this community?
Right. That's a great perspective on it. And I'm also reminded of the thing that we learned also from the Liberating Structures community, is that this is all complex work. So starting an initiative community, it's messy, it's complex, you don't know where it's going. So start at least with a basic purpose that you can then refine as you do the work. But also start with a minimal set of rules that you need to follow in order to actually achieve that purpose. And that's what you're doing here with everyone involved.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like that a lot. And I can imagine that listeners may think, okay, how do you actually create a coherent set of principles when you have 100 people participating? But I don't think it's necessarily about the outcome of the conversation. It's about just having that conversation about what actually are the principles that are important for us to achieve our purpose.
Yeah.
And if you collect some input through a 1-2-for-all or a min-specs, that's already good enough. It doesn't have to be that everyone feels exactly the same way about the same set of principles.
No, exactly. And all this is similar again to why purpose to practice should not be a one-time activity. I think each time when you have a bunch of new people joining the community, you could consider setting up a call and just have a conversation with each other and really also with them talk about the principles. Maybe they have new ideas that you can include as well, or they have completely different experiences with these type of principles.
Right. So let's move to participants, because that's the next step, right? So you have the purpose, then you have the principles, and now we move to participants. And the question that we often get from people is, why do we even ask this question? Because are the participants not the people that are participating in the purpose to practice? And I'm curious what your take is on that, Barry. What's your
Yeah, and although that makes sense, and it might also be true, it can also be a big pitfall that you sort of like have a blind spot with only having the usual suspects in your initiative that you're launching. So I think it's always a good question to really dig a bit deeper in. So who must be included in this purpose of practice if we really want to achieve its purpose? And I would always like to challenge the participants to look beyond the usual suspects. It was also interesting to see that when we did this purpose to practice for the Patreon community, let's say the usual suspects were Scrum practitioners, liberating structures practitioners, like those were the obvious ones to reach out to. Yeah. But what I liked a lot is that some people also tried to push us and the other participants into, okay, but let's, what kind of people do we see when we look beyond Scrum practitioners or liberating structure practitioners? Those may be the ones that truly can have an impact on what we try to achieve as a community. And those could be people that have never heard about liberating structures or Scrum.
I think I saw teachers in there or scientists as potential participants that would make sense in this community. And I really like that.
Yeah.
These were participants that we hadn't considered. They make a lot of sense, but we hadn't considered them ourselves.
No.
And that's the power, I think, of thinking about this.
Yes, exactly.
So if you would ask this question, what liberating structures could you use to answer such a question?
Well, yeah, good one. Again, min specs could be an interesting one to consider. Let's see, I'm just thinking out loud right now.
Yeah, 1-2-for-all, right?
Yeah, so maybe just the basic ones or an impromptu networking that could work out as well.
You also have a specific liberating structure for it called social network webbing, which is all about creating transparency around the people that are part of the initiative and the people that are sort of in the periphery of the initiative.
Yeah.
So I think that that's also a good candidate. But I like the suggestion of a min-specs. Just come up with a list of all potential participants and then narrow it down to the most important participants. I think that that's a great way to do this too.
And again, but I think there are some liberating structures we can just offer at each element, but I think trace could be fun as well. Like who should we definitely ignore in order to make this to make this a huge failure? Could be a fun one.
Yeah. So again, very important question to ask, right? So who needs to be involved in order to achieve our purpose? Looking beyond the group of people that are currently in the room. And again, this is also something you have to refine continuously.
Yep. And so the next one is structure.
Which is confusing to most people, right?
Yeah, and in all honesty, I sometimes struggle with this one as well. Like what's the difference between structure and practices, for example, but let's figure that out. And structure is all about how will we distribute control instead of relying on top-down control. And I think for us as the liberators, this was a very interesting one to see, okay, what are the ideas that the community comes up with? Because this is probably the big bottleneck for the two of us. How can we prevent Christian and myself become the bottleneck in this initiative? Do you recognize that one, Chris?
Or? Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think that's the question about structure is it seems like a difficult question, but it may be one of the most important ones, because in initiatives, what you usually see, or in communities, is that a few people are in control of what's happening and who's doing what, and that means that all the rest of the community doesn't have full autonomy or is limited in what they can do, and that inhibits the amount of learning that can take place in a group. So it's important to think about how can we structure our community or our initiative in a way that we all have more autonomy. I think that that's the core question that we're trying to answer. And yeah, that's really important for our patron community too, because if it's just you and me doing everything, then we're going to burn out quite quickly, I think. And that's in no one's benefit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And otherwise it's only our brains and our thinking that influences what this community does, and not all these creative ideas that all the other patrons come up with all the time. So that would just be a waste of potential.
Yeah. Yeah. So an example that we defined in this one is that everyone that is a liberator can host their own meetups. So people can step up to organize or set up their own local user group and start organizing meetups. There's no dependency from us in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
We set up the idea was raised to start a forum. We started Discord for that one, so that everyone can ask for help if they have a challenge, but also the other way around, everyone also has the opportunity to give help to other patrons. So again, it's not like that Chris and I are the bottleneck in that sense.
Yeah, and I think another example is that we want local user group organizers to pick their own tools.
Mm, yeah.
So although we use Meetup and we think Meetup is a good platform, if people want to use something else, that's okay too. Because otherwise we're constraining it. And I think that this is a good example also of structuring things. But other examples for other kinds of communities or initiatives we started with Purpose to Practice would be, how often do we meet as the people that are doing this, working on this initiative? What platforms do we use to interact? How do we make decisions? I think that these are all the questions that you're trying to answer for the structure aspect of Purpose to Practice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of structures would you, because usually what we do is for each of the five questions, we use one or more liberating structures. What is a good candidate for this element, for the structure element?
Well, if you haven't used it for the other ones, you could consider a 25-10 crowdsourcing, which is a very quick and rapid way of gaining ideas from the entire group. There's also a virtual version available right now, so you can also use it virtually. You could consider combining participant structure and practices and use a shift and share. And then each element becomes a station, and in multiple rounds, participants can include ideas on all the different elements. And maybe even you could also do an appreciative interview. So share success stories about other initiatives that worked really well in the way people were structured and organized, and try to digest the key success factors and see how you can include them in this initiative.
What a great idea. That's nice. So you're pulling from other experiences to inform how to structure this initiative that you're starting.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So again, it's very flexible, right? You can use pretty much any liberating structure for it, but these are just some things that we've used and they work well. So that's great. Let's move to the final element, which is practices. And basically the question there is, what are we going to do? What will we offer our stakeholders, and how will we offer it?
Yeah.
So what does that look like?
Yeah, and that's really, so that's the result. So you've got a purpose, you set a couple of rules, as in principles, you know for whom you're going to do it and with whom, and you've discussed with each other, so how are we gonna organize ourselves? How are we going to structure ourselves? And then practices, I consider it as So what can people see as a result? What will they be see happening with, based on this initiative? And a practice could be that, for example, in the case of a patron community, we hope, and it's already happening, that a sort of like buddy system will start to form. So because co-creation is one of the principles, and based on the tooling that they selected, we hope that people are able to pair up with each other and give and get help. So that could be a practice, a buddy system.
Nice. Yeah, and I think some people also mentioned as a practice to always co-facilitate with one other, at least one other person, so that you both learn, but that because it's also more comfortable for you as a facilitator. But also, I think one thing I really liked from one of the patrons, she suggested that when people do an experiment, they announce the experiment in the community and they share the outcomes of it with everyone who is interested in this. So maybe they write a blog post about this, or they share it on our Discord server so that other people know what happened because of the experiment they did.
Yeah, exactly. So a practice could also be that we are continuously trying to search for the impact that we've done with these experiments and practices.
Cool. So I think that this is a good example of how we've used Purpose to Practice for, in this case, our patron community. We've done similar versions of this for the Liberating Structures community in the Netherlands and for our company. But I can imagine a lot of people that are listening to this episode are part of a Scrum team or work in organizations with Scrum. What is an application, Barry, that you think is useful for them to use Purpose to Practice?
Well, if you're part of a Scrum team, and it doesn't really matter if you're a new team or an existing team, just maybe you could even use your 1 hour retrospective to make a start with the Purpose to Practice. And it can be overwhelming if you see, wow, that's a lot of topics that we need to discuss. Maybe just focus on the first one, on purpose, and maybe use the follow-up retrospectives to pick a new element. And then it doesn't even have to take like your full retrospective. You could also say, we're just going to pick 15 or 20 minutes for each retrospective, pick one element, and continuously try to refine it.
Yeah, that's a good application. You can also use it just at the start of a new Scrum team. You don't have to spend the whole day on it. Maybe you can do a shift and share like you suggested, where each of the elements is a station of the shift and share. And then you have the whole team think about this during a shift and share, which usually takes 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And then you can revisit it later at some point and refine it further. I think that's also useful. Yeah. Or just for your product. I think if you start with a new product, do a Purpose to Practice for your product. What's the purpose of the product? What are the principles we must follow in order to satisfy stakeholders? And then go to participants. Who are the stakeholders, actually? How do we structure the work so that we can achieve this purpose? And what are the practices we use for that? So, or agile transformation. We don't like the word, I know, but when you start something like that, then Purpose to Practice is also really useful.
Yeah. And if it's okay again to go to the office, then just put it as a large poster on the central place in the office so that everyone is continuously reminded of it. And it's also very easy to refine it and change it and update it.
That's a good one. Yeah, because that's what we always do, right? We bring, at least for in-person events, we always bring the Purpose to Practice with us that we've created and put it on the wall so that it's always there as a reminder, like this is what we decided.
Yeah, I really consider it as the backbone of a healthy and strong initiative.
Cool. Any closing words you have for people that are eager to try this? What is something that they can, are there additional resources that they can check out or tips that you have?
Yeah, I think I think the Liberating Structures website itself contains a good article about this structure. And if you visit our Medium page and just search for Purpose to Practice, then you'll already find a couple of blog posts that we wrote about how we've used it. So it might be helpful to check those out as well.
Yeah, I'll make sure to include those links in the show notes for listeners so they can just click on the link and go there. And there's also a prepared string that we have published in our web shop. You can find it if you look for Purpose to Practice in our web shop. I think it's a 2-hour string, but we've, for each of the elements, we've suggested a way to do it with detailed steps. So you can also give that a try if you're starting a new initiative. And I'll make sure to add the link to the show notes as well. And you can give it a try.
Yep.
And with that, we've reached the end of today's episode. And well, we just want to thank you for listening. It was a pleasure, Barry, to do it again with you. It's not just me and a mic talking into a microphone, but actually having a conversation. If you liked listening to this episode, please give it a thumbs up, rate it, review it, and share it with friends. I think that that's one of the most important things you can do. Share your learnings with others. Maybe the people that you're going to try a Purpose to Practice with. And please share with us your feedback. What happened? What was made possible by using Purpose to Practice? Or just feedback on this episode. Maybe you like Barry and me having conversations like this. What other conversations would you like to hear from us? Thank you for listening and see you again next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.